Okay, sure. You betcha.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Yeah, you know. This is a new show.
This is the beginning of the show.
It's a new season of the show.
No, really. What are friends for? Hi. What are we doing? I don't even know how to do this anymore. This is season 5. This is not a traditional episode. What we wanted to do. Hi, I'm Paula V. Sastry. See, I'm not good at this anymore. Like,
I'm Gabrielle Ruiz. I'm still crushing it.
Anyway. This is not a traditional episode. This is an exclusive episode. We're on Zoom right now, and our guest is already here, which is awesome. And I want to get to it. And I want to like, and I think part of this is like an experiment, but let's do this. Okay, so Gabrielle, what was awesome this week?
I am wearing my new Shein blouse. That's as awesome as it got this week, and I love it. Mm-hmm. It's like a button front. Also, another thing is we've had a really shitty month. And it's the 3rd of February we're recording this. And since like January 4th, it's been terrible and for so many personal and professional reasons. So the friends that we have really pulled through, and I've been really cashing in on those favors more than groceries too. Like, can we bring you food? And that's been very helpful too. But like, I might take you up on your storage space, Poppy.
Yeah. I mean, I already have like some of your stuff in the living room that I have to take over there. So I feel like,
And we've been praying about change, and God is slapping us in the face about it right now. So let's do this.
You're like, this is not the change I was talking about, but sure.
Well, maybe it is. And I didn't even know it. That's the positive.
Okay. Okay.
How about you?
What was awesome this week? We have full-time help now. It's yet to like really get kicked in, like full-time childcare help, which will be nice. I haven't really felt the benefits of that yet because it's so new. So that's our awesome thing. And you know, my kiddos, she's doing good. She's like, you know, I dropped her off at preschool today and she was like, bye mama. I was like, okay.
Like, I've got a schedule. See ya.
What was hard this week? I think I don't like to be dismissed. I was dismissed a couple of times by a couple of people and it felt like I wasn't being heard. And that's never a good feeling. Never a good feeling, but you know, that's what therapy is for. So
I keep saying based on like my first month of 2022, I'm so fascinated on what my like fall therapy sessions are going to be like all the PTSD is finally going to be like bloop, 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 bloop. You know what I mean? It's finally going to erupt. And I was like, that's just going to be so fascinating.
Well, I want to ask our guest the same questions, but I do want to give her a nice little intro. She's a publicist by day, a certified friendship coach by night. She's also an educator, an author, a super mama. Please welcome Danielle Byer-Jackson.
Woo! Hello. Thank you for having me. So happy to be here.
Good to see you again. We're so excited to have you.
This will be good. This will be good. Okay. So what's the roundtable question?
So the roundtable question is, what was awesome this week and what was hard this week?
Okay. So what was awesome this week is I got to take a 30-minute shower. Now, for the average listener, you're like, how is that a big deal? But as a mom of two now, that is a luxury. That is a luxury. And so, that shower was the highlight of my week. And I guess the low light would probably be trying to figure out how to juggle all the things. I think it's something I used to thrive in. I used to love. I'll say I'm a victim of hustle culture, you know, where you're showing off all the things you did today because you're just a hustler. And I've like unlearned that and it's brought me so much freedom in my life. However, you know, now I've got to do all the things with the kids and writing and work. And it's a bit overwhelming. It's the first time I think in like a long time I told my husband, I don't know if I can do this, which for me as an independent person makes you feel very weak to say, I don't know that I can do this. I need help, you know? And even his eyes got big. He's like, wait, what? So that's been tough, but thank God, you know, same thing. I have support. And so I couldn't imagine what this would be like if I did not have that support.
Yeah. This is why we like you so much. Cause we feel that.
Which
we
I
like
wanna
checking
get off,
the boxes, right?
Which I want to get off my chest now, Danielle. Like you are like my 2022 goal of being like text friends with. No pressure.
Really?
Yeah. And it takes a lot for me to reach out like that. If we want to wrap this episode here, everyone stay tuned, but no pressure.
I will not let you down. Maybe in future episodes, we can update people and let them know how it went. I'm like, oh my God, we started texting 0 out of 10. Do not recommend.
It'll be like, so Gabrielle, what was your positive of the week? Danielle texted me back. And then what was your negative? Like 6 episodes later, I just haven't heard from her. I don't know how she's doing. No, but you and I had like a little DM voice memo thing on Instagram recently about I wanted to check in because it affected me greatly in a positive way when other pregnant women and other postpartum women around the same window were like, how are you? Versus like, how's the baby? You know? And the baby matters, yes. But at the same time, like, how are you? How is your body? It just meant so much to me. So I've been trying to, like, you know, multiply that to my space, my people. And so you were one of those people. Like, how are you doing? And it was just so nice to catch up with you. I like you a lot.
That was nice. Oh, my gosh. Look at us.
I'm so forward.
We're
I'm so
doing
friendship
it.
Forward.
Way to stay on brand.
In the name of loving our friends and whatnot, what we want to do right now, what are friends for? Danielle Byer-Jackson, they're for humble brags.
Hey, friends, go on and flex.
I want you to humble brag about this new exciting 6-figure thing that's happened to you.
Yeah, no, it is such a blessing. I honestly just want this to be a lesson. I recently got a 6-figure book deal. Very exciting because I'm just like little old me. I'm just me, just like a regular person with a capital R. And I want this to be a lesson to other people of shooting your shot. I mean, last summer, I just was like, I'm going to shoot my shot. And I made a list of book agents and I reached out and I was like, this is who I am. This is my idea. And then, you know, fast forward, it turned into this thing. And I'm a real person, a real life example. So that's, I think, the lesson for others is that thing that you've been thinking you're too small for, or people won't get it, to do it. And you just don't know. You just don't know. And so the book comes out in 2024 and it's all about just, you know, exploring, you know, the beauty of female friendship and how we need to attack conflict. And the argument I'm making in the book is that, you know, there's all this talk about community and sisterhood, and we talk about all the fluffy stuff, but you cannot have that conversation unless you talk about how to address the hard things, because conflict is inevitable. So it's either going to function to strengthen your friendship or destroy it. Either way, you better learn how to figure it out when it happens. And so the book will be a guidebook as to how to handle some of the most common conflicts that arise in female friendships.
Mm. You heard it here first, folks.
We can't wait to shout that out as much as possible when it gets closer to time. And that's very exciting. Is it okay for me to say that I'm proud of you?
Yes, it is. And thank you. That is very encouraging. That's very encouraging.
Also, it's so nice to see a little appointment for 2024 for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm learning how slow the publishing world is. Mm-hmm. So as a matter of fact, some of the publishers that we were all just talking about, how there's this shipment of books that was on a ship and it like fell into the water. So there's like all these authors whose books are not coming out because literally every copy fell into the water. I mean, like it's crazy out here, you know? So we'll see what happens, but it's always something.
Wow.
Wow.
It literally like flopped those.
Right. Right. Could you imagine as an agent having to call and be like, yes, so listen, scratch everything that we've had planned. There are no books. Yeah.
At least it wasn't the heart of the ocean though. You know, it's just paper. Mm. Hopefully it's recyclable. I don't know.
But yeah. Yeah.
That's not going to happen. Hey. That's not going to happen. 2024. It's going to be smoother. All the freights are going to get in. It's going to be good.
So anyway,
we're very proud of you. Congratulations.
We're very proud of you.
Thank you.
But the reason why this conversation is happening right now is because you have been like, I've responded to, I think, every single post that you've ever posted about the show that we want to talk about today, which is Insecure. We're all big fans of it. And you've had such like, to me, you had such profound things to say about the show because of who you are and what you do. And we thought that it would be cool to sort of dive a little deeper past the socials part of like the content that we were posting about why we love the show or that we love the show and why we love it and talk a little more about that. I think the easiest way to like get into the convo is like, first of all, it's a hard question to answer, but like, do you have a favorite episode?
One of my favorite episodes, there are many, but one of my favorite episodes is when they had this tension, Molly and Issa, and they were in the grocery store. And it was like, I think at the height of them being like awkward, they hadn't had the big blow up at like the festival yet, but it was just like awkward. And they had acknowledged, they were like, we are off, right? Like, yeah, we're off. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of my favorites because it gave me goosebumps. I've never seen that on TV before. And maybe we'll talk about that later. But I think that was one of my favorite episodes, was because it was awkward and tense and they made us sit in it as viewers. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that.
Oh, because we sit in it so much without recognizing it.
Yeah.
And not just, I mean, we can talk about female friendships specifically due to Insecure being the topic of the day, but it's so true how we try to mute, paralyze, and like blind ourselves to the feelings of awkward nothing, mm-hmm. no movement happening. There's this plateau happening in a friendship that you want to avoid because there's so much history that was great and had so much, you know, chemistry and spark. But when the romance stops, you know, when the sparks stop or when there's tension happening that you haven't addressed, whoo, that's a very awkward season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. So true. And like, you know, you mentioned you'd never seen something like that on TV. Like, you know, if you were to try and sum up why Insecure is so like revolutionary and how it portrays female friendship, like, do you feel like you can sum it up in what your feelings are about that?
I think perhaps that scene that I just kind of highlighted might be kind of like the microcosm of the entire show and why I like it so much, because I feel like in the media, you either see female friendships on one side of the spectrum. We're either braiding each other's hair and it's like all good, or we're fighting, like we are going at it. And so to see somebody take the time to talk about those little awkward moments and all the nuance, I've never really seen done so well. And I think that's what I appreciated about the show. And then as a Black woman, I have not really seen that as a Black woman. Now we have some old school shows to draw from, like Living Single and things like that, which have done a lot for the culture. But as far as like a modern show showing two brown skinned girls at the forefront and their friendship and ups and downs was really meaningful to me. So, you know, I appreciate the show for a lot of reasons, but that was one of them.
We picked out like a couple of our favorites as well. Gabrielle, do you want to go first?
Yeah. My favorite episode, I think it's from season 3. It's High Like, and it's when they all go to Coachella.
So fun. Looks so fun.
And all the listeners can connect with us on our social media. Let us know what your favorites are, because I think this is probably top 5 of a lot of people's, due to the fact that if you know what the Coachella culture is, there is definitely this pomp and circumstance to it. You know, like there's this like big up to do about it that I've never personally been attracted to. A lot of people love to do that. And I remember learning more about it when I moved to Los Angeles, and I was like, I feel like young people go to that. Like, I don't think I'm that person to try to go to that. And there were people my age still going. And so when they commented on that, like how they're on the older side of it, they're still trying to do that. I found that very relatable. Of course, the part where she's like, remember me different, like that is, and she pees herself. And then the most like powerful moment for me was when the character Tiffany has that sobering morning in the car moment where she's like, we've changed. It's not the same. And I don't know if I've ever personally have had a moment with a friend like that, but I've always wanted to be able to be that honest. And it coming from her, the most dramatic, you know, the most dramatic dynamic of the group, the most flamboyant and demanding, you know, voice, where she's very honest and very demanding of her presence, you know, doesn't apologize for it. She didn't apologize for this moment either, in such a subdued way too. You know what I mean? And it might be a moment where I don't know if her friends have ever seen her that way. That's evidence of growth and possibly growing away, because a big moment for me in friendships, like I think around 27, a friend told me, he said, it's a shame when your friends don't grow up with you. Maybe that's why that scene affected me that way, because I could find that relatable.
Yeah.
So well said.
It's tough, right? Because like we all also, as like life circumstances change, like you want to like hang on to the things that you felt like drew you and your friends together. And I think that's probably what that moment signifies as well. It's like, it's them recognizing maybe we don't need Coachella. We don't need this to continue this friendship. Let's figure it out, you know, sort of, you know, so we can build from here instead of continually like trying to, you know, throw back in nostalgia and like talk about the past. Cause like, I remember when I knew that I was growing apart from a friend that I had been close with, late part of high school, all through college, maybe a couple of years into living in New York, I noticed that every time this person and I would get together, like they would just talk about the past. They would never recognize what was happening right now or what you know, especially in my life, you know, because that was one of those people that like, I got married really young and like, they would refuse to recognize what my life was now. It was like, you know, like they just never engaged with that part of me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I was just like, wow, I think, you know, to your point, Gabrielle, it's like, you know, when you know that you've changed and you can say that in front of your closest people and that have that be okay. That's like, it's like, phew. Okay. I think we'll be okay. Cause I was able to say that just now. Danielle, what do you think?
I mean, it's really powerful. It speaks to something that's called, I think it's like social identity theory. And the idea is that, you know, all those things that you would use to describe who you are, how you define yourself. I am a wife. I am a businesswoman. I'm all those bullet points that you'd use to describe your identity. The idea of that theory is that, you know, that makes up who you are. And friendships where your friend accepts those aspects that you bullet point, they're more likely to last than the friendships where they don't accept those little bullet points. And so if those bullet points of your identity that you listed are changing, I'm now a wife, I'm now a mom, I now view the world this way, and that's a part of my identity. If you have friends who can't get behind that or understand that, then yeah, it makes sense that they're probably not going to have the same kind of longevity with you as a friend who can keep rolling. So that's why it's really special when you have that friend who's known you for 10 years and they've saw you through mm-hmm. all those little changes of your identity, which we saw in Insecure. You know, Molly's starting to, she wants to take relationships more seriously. Issa wants to take, you know, her job more seriously and find her path. But do they let each other do that? Do they give each other room to shift identity and say, okay, I accept it and I'm going to champion this new version of you. And sometimes we can't do that. Sometimes the friendship doesn't go that way. So I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
And I think variations of why it can't go is because there is possibly a competition feel. Do you feel like, I think that's the most highest stereotypical reason, you know, like you would assume. Do you think it's like that women are competitive more in a different way than men are when it comes to like independent relationships that are like platonic?
Yeah, it's interesting because men tend to be competitive in the relationships too, but it's more so competitive in terms of achievement. But women are more competitive in terms of affection and friendship and who shows up more and things like that. I also wonder if it's stereotyped, I guess, for women being competitive, because I would like to argue that I think a lot of it's cultural and that the world emphasizes being a mom and being married. And like all these things. So if my friend starts quote unquote achieving all these things and I am not, it's representative of what I don't have. So maybe I don't want to sabotage her and I don't want to take away from her, but her having those things only emphasizes that I lack those things. And I see it as her getting ahead, whether she's getting the callbacks or whatever they are, she's getting ahead. But I think like a fixed mindset sees that as, oh, if she's achieving, there's less for me, instead of, wow, good for her. And that shows that I can do it too, you know? And so, you know, I think there's a lot of that stuff going there, but I could totally see how there's some little feels of competition and friendship. Competition can be a good thing to drive us forward if it inspires us to do better, or obviously it can be destructive if we feel like we are against her and she's beating us. So that's tricky, but I know that that's like a common stereotype that we get. Mm-hmm.
My favorite episode is actually from the last season. I thought it was really profound and interesting and something I'd never seen before for Issa to be talking to Kelly about how to like make, you know what I'm talking about? Where she was like, hey, Kelly, what did you and Tiffany do when this happened to you? And like, all of a sudden you see that like, oh, this is like a quad up situation where like Tiffany and Kelly, they're all really close and they love each other. But like Tiffany and Kelly know that they're a thing, and you know what I mean? Like it was really interesting to see that, like that whole group notice that each one of them had their person. I loved that. And I was like, I've never seen that before. I've never seen somebody just accept and be like, yeah, I understand you're going through a tough time right now, but like, just keep loving her. You know, you're doing good. You're doing great. That was really great. You did great, Issa. Like, and I was just like, I've literally never seen this before.
I love that moment too. I know what you're talking about. And I had to say, I think I had the same reaction of like, oh my God, yes. I think she was asking her, you know, how long did it take for you guys to get back? And she was like, you have to be fake back before you're back or whatever.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Fake back. Yes. That's exactly right. I couldn't remember the exact moment, but I knew
fake back.
And I was just like, oh, this is a real dynamic that happens, a real thing that happens. But I think like, I don't think I've ever had, well, I mean, in my own life, like, I think all of our friends know that like Gabrielle is my person and I'm Gabrielle's person, but like, I don't know that we've ever talked about it that frankly.
Do you think they know, or do you think there are other people in the group who think you're their person, or?
Good question.
That's a good question. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think I know if anybody knows, or if, I mean, I'm saying it now, but like.
Pallavi, let's bring them on the show and let them know, like have an intervention. When they're like, so we'll ask those people like, do you think Pallavi has one, none, or multiple best friends?
I just remember watching that. I was like, no, not yet. That's, you know, my Molly or Issa, whoever, I don't know. We'll talk about that later, who we identify with the most, but like, she's my person. But like, we did talk about recently how like, we do talk to each other about our other friends, but like, I don't know, like who would we go to if we had an issue? I have no idea.
Danielle, text her.
Or a coach.
Or a coach. There we go. Here we go. This is the right place for that plug.
Oh, which leads to my next question for Danielle is, have you used insecure as scenarios in your coaching?
Like, have I referenced?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. All the time. I'm always like, you're going to see this coming. But in Insecure, there's this episode. But it offers kind of like a nice framework for situations for which you have not really seen a visual or an example. So how we're talking about, you know, acknowledging that two friends might be closer in the group. Again, I mean, think about all the other shows with girls. We see all four of them getting cocktails. We see all four of them hanging out. Like, we never really see like, well, these two are obviously closer. Mm-hmm. And everybody accepts that. It's not threatening. It's not dramatic. It's just like, yeah, their connection's a little bit stronger. I think that is part of the problem sometimes with group dynamics is we see displays that make it look like it will always be equal across the board all the time. That is not true. And I know that could be hurtful to hear that like, actually those two are closer to each other than they are to you, but it's true. And research tells us that half of our friendships are reciprocal, meaning I see you as a level 9 in my life, but you see me as a level 4. In your life. And that's, I mean, does that upset me? Yes. You know, you have to figure out how you want to respond to that.
To have those conversations, like intentional conversations to protect your dynamic and honor it for what it is. I don't know if it could exist. I don't know if everybody could handle it. Yeah. Like, I'm talking like the entire world. I'm talking about just like my group of people, but I find that so provoking in like your life that it would be for the better. It's like the honest truth, and to be completely honest in your truths for your friendships, I feel is a struggle.
Yeah.
So Insecure though has offered like a good framework to refer to different things, especially for clients who are familiar, to kind of give them a visual of what it is we're talking about.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of things, the nice thing that they would throw into the show also is they would actually show some of the male friendship dynamics as well, like between the spouses or significant others mostly, but like, you know, cause that's how they fit into the narrative. But like, that was also kind of nice to see that they would explore that as well as like, you know, Derek being Tiffany's husband and like, you know, they've been together the longest and like Lawrence is really good friends with Derek and like how they stayed friends, even though that breakup happened, like that you got to see that friendship continue on. I was like, and that's why I think I'm so obsessed with this show. It's like, you don't see those things. You don't see those dynamics continue to play out. Cause it's true. Like, you know, sometimes the people who have divorce or breakup or whatever it is, like other people, they still let them decide, you know, let's not decide that fate for their friendship too. And that was really nice to see. You know,
yeah,
that's really good.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it is a good point about the male friendships because I know we don't highlight that in the conversations about the show as much. I remember there was one time, I think it was, I guess at the beginning of season 4 when the Molly and Issa started to have some awkwardness, but I think a lot of it started with, I guess Issa asked Molly to hook her up with like a headliner for her show, but she needed her to ask her boyfriend. And she was like, I'm not going to ask my boyfriend for it. But it was interesting to see how like, I think Nate had asked him and they had a conversation about it and they weren't wrapped up in the details and the drama as friends. They were just like, hey, can she use a headliner? You know, but for us, it was very meaningful, you know, all those, all those decisions and choices carried a lot of meaning if you're going to do this thing. And it seemed like the guys were just like, what's the big deal? So it was kind of interesting to see the juxtaposition between male-female friendships too.
That's a good point. Yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, I love the show so much.
They do a really good job about the modern take and truth of what their writers, the writing team that they brought in to, I would hope, to bring in their experiences. Mm-hmm. And also, like, not necessarily allow that content to make it through, but it made it through. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be something that we've already seen before. And that's really what I appreciate about Insecure.
Yeah. So last question about the show. Are you satisfied?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I was surprised to see that there are people who were not, but now that I hear some of their arguments, I'm like, I get it. I was satisfied. I liked the whole time leap thing for their birthdays. I thought that was an interesting way to cover a passage of time. I love that. I personally don't mind that they didn't have like a wedding between Issa and Lawrence, and it kind of left it like they were seeing each other, or I think they referenced them being engaged, right? There was like a zoom up of her like having an engagement ring, or no?
It's escaping me now.
Okay. But. Yeah. Cause that's what I mean. It was like so brief, and I love that they let the end kind of circle around Molly and a wedding, which, you know, kind of signifies, you know, new beginnings. And so I appreciated that. I was a mess during that scene when the two of them are just talking in the wedding dress and come on somebody.
I was like, I mean, I don't think Gabrielle's seen it before. So sorry, Gabrielle.
It's okay.
Spoiler.
I can't do 1 hours anymore. I just can't. I fall asleep so fast. No, you can catch me up. It's fine. I know what I was in for today.
But what you'll know when you get to that scene though, that she's talking about, of them like just like talking to each other, like at the wedding, when she's like, she's getting out of her wedding dress and into like the, you know, the reception dress. And it's I was a mess. I was definitely a mess during that. I was just like, this is beautiful.
But tell me why. Why were you a mess?
Well, it's just basically the two of them saying to each other that I got you. Like, this is my life is going to be okay because of you. Like at her wedding, she says that to her friend.
I love that.
And it also made me wonder too, because it looked so real. I mean, you guys are in the industry, so you know, but to me, it looks so real. I wondered how much of it was her really referencing in real life, because like the show was ending and she was like, I just want to say thank you so much. And it looked real to me, like her reactions, like saying a real goodbye of this is it. This is the last time we'll even be doing the show together. It was too much, too much. Woo.
I'm sure there was real energy on
a good that day. A good first AD and line producer will also schedule it that way. So they'll be like, ooh, let's get this scene on like second to last day or last day, so that they'll actually lose it.
Oh. Yes, for our non-Hollywood industry people that are listening and watching, when you record a film or record a TV show, you don't record it in order that you see on screen. You record it and you shoot it like per convenience and time to be as efficient as possible. So like if everything is outside, then let's do it all the outside scenes out of order and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So like Paulovy's explaining, those scenes in that interior section with the wedding dress and the wedding, you know, probably no background because it was just them too.
It's like, we only have the dress for a day and a half. So we got to do all of it on this day, you know?
Right, right. And so they probably, manipulated the feelings and took it, you know, I'm sure the whole team and creators thought that was a great idea to be able to be like, we're the only two people that haven't, quote, wrapped on this season. We're the last two people on set and they get to like totally take advantage of all those feelings. Oh, how beautiful. Now I have to go like just skip the whole season and watch this scene.
To your point earlier, when you were saying Danielle is like, you saw that a lot of people weren't satisfied. My theory on shows like this that are so beloved is that not everybody's ever going to be happy. So like, it's just, that's why I like to ask people instead of just like being like, oh my God, could you believe that last episode? You know, like I'm never going to do that because like, nobody's ever going to, like, it's never going to be universal and like something beloved ending, you know?
Were you satisfied?
I think they could do no wrong. Honestly, I really felt like they could do no wrong. So like, even if they decided that they were all going to, you know, run away together and like, I literally couldn't care what they did.
Like, oh, great choice. Great choice.
I was just so along for the ride. Like, I'm just on Team Insecure so hard that it wouldn't have mattered.
And they They yeah, earned it. Same. They yes. earned it.
Lightning wall.
Are you an Issa, Molly, Kelly, or Tiffany? Or hybrid?
I think we're all a little bit of a hybrid, but I'm going to go with an Issa. At least I'd like to think so.
Are there any other shows that do justice to the friendship conversation?
Yes, there's this show called Dollface. It's ridiculous, but oh my gosh, it's so great in highlighting girl code and what makes us, you know, female friends and all that stuff. So Dollface is one I think is really good and everyone should go watch.
On Hulu with Kat
yes.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Esther Pavitsky.
Esther Pavitsky. And Bella's on that show too, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Some friends of mine. In one word or hyphen it, Danielle, what kind of friend are you?
Okay, this requires a little explanation, but I think I'm the boyfriend. And this is what I mean. It's a joke. It's a joke with my friends that sometimes I'm like their boyfriend because I will like send you gifts. I'm like, oh my God, you look beautiful tonight. Can I just say, I mean, like I will love on you. And so it's kind of a joke. It's kind of weird. I own it. So I'm the boyfriend friend because I think there should be romance in our friendships too. And I'm all about that.
I think I'm in love with you.
Okay, what would you like to do better as a friend?
Ask for help more. I know all the research around why it's good to ask for help, but I still struggle with that. So I'd like to do that more.
And lastly, Danielle, our iconic question, what are friends for?
Friends are for reminding you that you are not alone in this world.
Ain't that the truth? My goodness.
Yes. Well, thanks for coming on, being our first friend of season 5. This was, we were very excited about this conversation and I hope you had a good time.
I'm so glad. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good topics. Good topics. Hopefully, maybe we can talk about Dollface next.
I'm here for it. You sign me up.
All right. Bye. See you next time. Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4.
This episode was produced by Team Access Productions and Fast Nickel Inc. and presented by Hoo-Ha-Ha. Our supervising producer is Philip Sanchin.
Our consulting producers are Kathleen Cho and Rose Harwood.
Head of production and marketing is Anna Daneker. Digital content director is Susie Cabello.
Our production assistants are Daniela Heredia Vega and Julia Kelch.
Our podcast artwork is created by Aishwarya Sukesh. Original music is by Joey Sherman. Special thanks to Irresistible Force Publicity and Hari Savitala.
Don't forget to download the free Hoo Ha Ha app to listen to WAF and other exclusive women-led podcasts. And as always, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening now. This helps our show's visibility and helps us keep making it for you.
And find us on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and even TikTok at WAF Podcast. That's W-A-F-F Podcast. To find links to our exclusive vodcasts, live shows, shop merch, or even text us, visit WAFpodcast.com.
We truly appreciate you all checking in with us online. But you know that friend that you've been like, oh, I really haven't checked in with them in a while? Go do that.
Yeah, go do that now.